Us to take the opportunities we hear about and to respond in a Christ-like way. Many years ago, the pastor at our church that I attend in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, asked us to choose a life verse. I chose Micah 6:8. And what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? I'm convinced if each of us lived our life keeping those three things in mind with all of our actions and our words, we would have a much different world to live in. Scripture doesn't tell us that we should be a carpenter or a doctor or a farmer. What it says, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. So who is my neighbor? I think your neighbor is the person, the family that God brings into your life to walk side by side at times. Sometimes that might be when a family needs help. Mennonite Disaster Service is an organization that provides opportunities for folks to connect with families in need and provide assistance when needed after disaster. I understand members from this congregation have connected with MDS many times over the past years, most recently through the Partnership Housing Home Program in Clendenin, West Virginia. I was able to attend the house dedication and meet the volunteers there that day. I know Mike and Linda Stuckey have been project directors at other places with the West Virginia Bridge Program that we have going, with the traditional work that's in White Sulphur Springs. Others of you have reached out and helped a neighbor in time of need. The flooding event in West Virginia on June 23, 2016, brought so much damage and destruction into that state. Many families were beaten and left along the road, needing assistance to get back on their feet. Who will come to help? I was with several other people from MDS a few days after the flooding event, investigating ways that we might be able to help. And I still remember being at the City Hall as we were trying to understand a little bit more of the layout of the community and the damages that were done. And I was talking with some folks at the City Hall, and as I walked out the door, a lady followed me out the door, and she said, I heard you say about you might have some volunteers to help clean up. And she told me that her house, you know, was affected. And as we were talking, she held her hand up to her mouth, and she said, I'm sorry for the way I sound, but I lost my false teeth in the flood. Made me realize that these storms devastate the lives of people many times that are affected by them. The small town of White Sulphur Springs had around 2,000 people that lived in the town. Eight people lost their lives in that flood. The waters came rushing out of the mountains after about 10 inches of rain and just devastated the lower areas around the streams. And houses at times were lifted up off the foundation and floated down the stream a little bit. And as I was talking to this lady, she said, see that man coming towards us here? She said, he's the one whose wife passed away a few days ago from the storm. She was in her house. It shifted on the foundation. The gas line erupted, and the house blew up and was on fire. And she actually was blown out of the house and landed in a tree and was in the tree for about 3 or 4 hours, as I understand it, until the rescue people were able to get to her. And she was taken to the hospital, but unfortunately passed away a few days later. So not only do you have the devastation of the flooding event that happened, you lost your house, but even family members. So as we walk into these situations, you know, just trying to bring some kind of comfort, some kind of hope. So one of the difficult parts of my responsibility to help coordinate the sites of MDS is to go into a community immediately after a disaster, meet people, hear their stories, and not know how many volunteers will be willing to go or how quickly they might be willing to respond when asked. This is a ministry built on faith. We don't know where the disasters will happen. We don't know how many volunteers will be willing to serve in that community. We don't know if we will have the leadership needed to meet some of the needs after a storm. We don't know if we will have the right connections in a particular community to be introduced to the right people after a storm. But we do know that we serve a God that can help us with those answers. We know that because God has been faithful over the last more than 65 years, guiding MDS and the work the organization has done. MDS vision statement is for every Anabaptist congregation and MDS unit and region to respond to those affected by a disaster. An active church contact person is an important link between the MDS organization and the families who need help. The CCP, as we call them, can receive the information from MDS where the needs are and relay that information to you, the church members, and encourage you to be involved if you are able. I say sometimes I wish there was not a need for MDS. But friends, not only is that not the case, the need is growing. The storms seem to be more frequent, more severe. Our volunteer season runs in cycles. The winter months, we have many volunteers willing to serve. The summer months, we have few. So this volunteer season, without the most recent storms, we had plans, and volunteers are working in Greenbrier County, West Virginia, which is the White Sulphur Springs area. Our bridge program continues. I think now we're built over 35 bridges in West Virginia of families that need to get access from the road to their house. Lafayette, Louisiana had a huge flooding event back in August of 2016. We have volunteers repairing houses there. Pine Ridge, South Dakota. There's the Indian Reservation that had straight line winds that did quite a bit of damage. Volunteers are working there, and we'll see a video on that shortly. Lake County, California, they had forest fires that happened. Saipan, not sure how many of you know where Saipan is, but that's a U.S. territory out in the Pacific. I understand about 15-hour flight away from here, but MDS is responding there. Because it's a territory of the U.S. We have volunteers also at two RV sites. One is in Citrus County, Florida, and one is in San Marcos, Texas. So what more can we do with these most recent storms, Harvey and Irma and Maria? We are stepping out in faith and trusting that we can open three sites in Texas. We're hoping to open one site in Florida and two sites in Puerto Rico. Donations have come in to MDS for these recent storms. We as staff are trying to be responsible and search for those areas that need volunteer assistance to help these families return to their homes. The PHP home that was built with a group of folks from this area of Ohio, that was a gift to the family. They were very grateful for that. I understand there could be another family in Clendenin that is also waiting to see if they might be blessed with the gift of labor. So who is my neighbor? How am I living my life to inherit eternal life? And as I think about who is my neighbor, I remember growing up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I was surrounded most of my life with folks in the Mennonite faith. The school I went to, the church I went to, of course. And I went into voluntary service and went to Southwest Georgia and Americus, Georgia, to help build some homes there. And later, after many years, several years, came back to Lancaster. And someone said to me that we think that we should start a habitat project in Lancaster. And my response was, I grew up in Lancaster. I could not show you what I think is a substandard house here in Lancaster. And they said, follow us. So we went down to the southeastern part of Lancaster City. And I saw conditions there that I was amazed that people were living without indoor plumbing and people with very substandard housing. To me, it just showed again how we can become so isolated from even our next door neighbors and don't know how some of our folks are living right in our own community. So it's opening our eyes. It's following leads that we have of people that share with us. That's how we can become better acquainted with the needs that are in our community. At this time, I'd like to have a video shown on the work that is happening in Pine Ridge, South Dakota.
My name is Moretta Champagne. I'm an enrolled member of the Oglala Sioux Tribe. We're here on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, and I am the outreach coordinator for the Pine Ridge Long-Term Recovery, and I facilitate and assist with helping our people with homes.
Living in this trailer right here for about 2 years through some cold winters, you know. At the time, we had no electricity, stuff like that, you know. But I tell you, it's been hard.
Winds that came in at 80 miles an hour, 75 miles an hour, tore off roofs. You know, they damaged windows. Hail the size of golf balls, you know, busted roofs and broke windows and busted siding.
In our first bedroom, it like broke the window and it rotted out all the floor all the way to the front door. And so like he had to just find boards and repair them himself. We do the best that we could. Came in that little trailer, so.
We have 85% unemployment. We have no banks to help meet the needs of fixing homes. Over 1,900 families that applied for help, 1,500 didn't receive any help because they didn't understand the process. But FEMA did what they could with the people who met the process.
The natural disaster that happened, the storm, the flooding and all that, just made something else worse.
MDS is the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, I'm really thankful that they came to put forth. I mean, this is really emotional for me because you see how these people live. You see their roofs torn off. And so for MDS to come in and to build them a home and then to hear them running around, this is my room. Mommy, can I have this room?
Well, me, I was raised by my grandparents on the Rosebud Reservation, but my mother's actually from here. We lived in a two-bedroom house with like about 10 of us, so she put about half of us in boarding school. So I think when I was about 16, then I came this way to live with my mother, and I've been here since. I have custody of them, and I hope that I can keep them as long as I can, because right now the mother don't have a home, and they still have a little sister, and she keeps her, just to grow up and get an education.
you need to know you are not bringing Jesus to the reservation. Jesus is already here. God has been working here for a long time. Your job is to find out what God is doing and join in on that. I love working with youth. They're a lot of fun. I hope they learn some building skills, but most of all, I hope they see that the rest of the world is not as beautiful as what they're used to, not as comfortable, that people struggle. We are basically servants. We only do what we are told to do by a local long-term recovery committee, Moretta Champagne.
I help facilitate. MDS came in, we got a place for them to stay, and when they were coming, this is the logistics of the area.
So far, incredible. Yesterday alone, we did our work, but we ended a little bit early to visit one of the cultural sites that are nearby, the massacre at Wounded Knee. And we learned just how awful it has been here over the past, I don't know how many years, and just history behind what we're doing, because it's not only just about the work, it's also about learning and respecting other cultures.
I know they're volunteers, but I just feel like, wow, it's really hot out there. I hope they're okay.
It doesn't feel like work when you're surrounded by people who are all positive and into it as much as everyone else is.
This is what it's about. I mean, this is people, helping our people.
Just happy tears. It's unbelievable, really. All the hard times, like, we never had nowhere to live, how we bought that trailer, and the weather just really took it.
There's a lot of help that's needed out there in the world. I say we need it more because we don't have the infrastructure for people to go make a bank loan to fix their home. And so I'm glad for some of the entities that come that try to help us find grants for people that are working. Maybe some of them could do a loan. It's a process, and it seems like it's taking a long time. But when you see these 5 houses that went up, and so I'm really thankful that MDS took the initiative to come.
See all past this house that's come up, you know, and I've seen a house come up just quick because they got different workers every week coming in from somewhere else. And the people that's been building have been wonderful. You know, I appreciate everyone. They come from all over to help this project.
It's really good to know that there are people like that out there that want to come here and help, and then to take the concern seriously. You look at our lands, how beautiful, how green and luscious. We have an extensive history. We're survivors, and we're still here.
The other short video I'd like to share is about Puerto Rico. It was made when some of us were down there soon after the storm. MDS's response in Puerto Rico is still developing. I don't know exactly what shape that will take. The language certainly will be one issue, the language barrier. The cultural differences certainly will be another issue that we need to deal with. But other than that, the issues, it's been 7 weeks, a little over 7 weeks since that storm, and many of the 3.4 million people in Puerto Rico still do not have electricity, they do not have running water, and they do not have very dependable cell service. So communication continues to be very difficult. Even this past week, early in the week, I heard that 42% of the people living there had electricity. By the end of the week, something drastic had happened in the north side to the electric lines, and only 25% of the country had electricity. So there's just huge challenges for the country. There are around 20 Mennonite churches established in Puerto Rico. Our first contact is to connect with them and the pastors and ask them how they think MDS should respond. And so it could take a little different shape than what other projects would take at times. There's many people that do not have an income right now because the place of employment where they were working does not have electricity. So there's just hardships that are continuing to get more difficult as time goes on. And because of the difficulty of food and water situation, for us to think of taking many volunteers over there, adding to the difficult situation, does not seem to be the right response. So we're looking at ways, what we call outside of the box, that we might be able to help the people of Puerto Rico. So in closing, I'd like us to show that video of Puerto Rico. Thank you for the way that your congregation has been involved with MDS, and we just pray that we can continue to reach out and be Christ-like to our neighbors.
Route 1 south of Ay Bonito, heading up towards Ay Bonito.
La casa se había aguantado algunos huracanes.
The house has stand for some other hurricanes and done well.
Obviamente pues se le han hecho algunos arreglos durante el transcurso del tiempo que hemos vivido aquí, pero ya entonces ya no resistió el
huracán. He couldn't resist the last one.
We'll try to start our class in 2 weeks.
Okay.
That's maybe the final week of October.
Okay, this is Brenda Hernandez. She's the pastor of the Mennonite Church in Coamo. We are in Coamo Pueblo, the town. So Brenda, tell us what happened to the church structure.
It hit everything. I think it was from that side to that side, and everything
blew in.
Yes, all the structures, it was glass with metal, and everything was, it's wet inside and everything. And also the elevator, the winds took it.
How long was the elevator built?
One year.
You enjoyed it for 1 year.
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. So let's go